We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Another flame out by Harden. The Braves remain in first place. And Greg Sankey speaking at the spring meetings. We'll get to all of that and much more coming up this hour, along with Grant McCauley, who's going to join us to talk about the Braves starting their series, Mike, with the Red Sox.
Yeah, we got some more sad news. I mean, we lose Ted Turner, lose Bobby Cox, and we find out at only age 68, a guy that, I mean, so many of our listeners, their childhood was a part of going down to Fulton County and seeing Bob Horner, who went right from Arizona State to the Bigs, and Bob Horner passes away. And the Braves making a tribute on their social media earlier today.
Yeah, man. He was a dude. And I just love hearing the stories from Dale Murphy, who I know is certainly mourning his friend today and will continue to. But he would tell great stories, and I'm sure he will when we get a chance to see Murph about Bob Horner and the kind of competitor he was. More on that coming up in less than 10 minutes from now. But let's talk about what's going on with our Falcons. Tomorrow, Kevin Stefanski will speak to the media again. We'll hear from our defensive coordinator, Jeff Ulbrich. Mike, Bill Callahan is going to speak, the offensive run game coordinator.
It was Callahan!
But he's also the O-line coach, man.
Right, and a lot of folks, and we wondered out loud, are they satisfied with the job that Ryan Neuzel did? Last year, we know that they're happy. I've got to imagine they're happy with Bergeron, certainly, and they got Lindstrom, who's one of the best in the league. But be curious to see, you know, how is there going to be a competition? All you really have is sort of undrafted, you know, free agents that you brought in, and some of these guys did start in college.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what Coach has to say about, you know, this process of trying to install, which is what they're trying to do, this group's culture, this particular coaching staff's culture, and what that's going to look like. And, you know, the last few coaches that have been here, including, you know, Arthur Smith, who wasn't ready to define what that was because he knew his team, Mike, wasn't necessarily as talented when he took it over. And then Rahu would always tell us, you know, well, the team decides what their culture is. I think coaches decide. Yeah. I think coaches
set the tone.
I think coaches decide.
We just talked earlier today. We'll play some audio later. I mean, the Kenny Atkinson, I know it's basketball to football, but you got a game where you blow a big lead, and you're talking about analytics, and now you're down big time. You said, well, yeah, we won two of those three. You set the tone. No, coach takes responsibility. In that case, the losing mentality seeped into, well, you're going to talk about Harden coming up. But it's just, to me, that's not the message. No. And you're right. I mean, don't be passive aggressive with your vibe. You set the tone for your squad.
Well, A.J. Terrell was asked last week about Kevin Stefanski. And this is what's crazy. And A.J.'s our guy. We've had this conversation, and I can't tell you because you don't see his face like we do. But I asked him and Jesse Bates last year. We haven't been in the playoffs. And both guys are like, you know how you're talking to your boy, and he's like, damn, you got to bring that up? Like, they are so distraught with not having a chance, Mike, to play for a chip.
Right.
Right? Getting into the dance. And he was asked last week about Stefanski. So you go, okay, well, what's the deal? Guys, AJ's been in the league 7 years now. Seven.
Right. He's a veteran.
Right? And you go, all right, so he's gone through a couple of different coaching staffs. And he said, look, I love for Stefanski to come in here and be demanding. That's the culture. You be demanding of your players are demanding of each other, and guess what? Then you build on that. He said, quote, and I didn't, you know, say this. This is what AJ said. He says his approach to the guys is he wants us to be better. It's just what it is. And we all know what the team goal is as far as getting to the playoffs. But that's it, Mike. You've got to be demanding. We talked about Ra's approach, and again, we're not here to bang on anybody that's not here anymore. But we saw it firsthand. How do you get to where you want to be? You've got to have some things in place, Mike, that guys understand. This is what it is. And if there's not that understanding of what is expected, then you don't have a starting place.
Right. You also got to be proactive. You know, get ahead of stuff. You know, they were always reacting to the Kurt, Kirk Cousins, you know, reacting to the special team. You know, just get ahead of it. And some of this goes all the way up to the general manager. But now we do have a different approach, and I do think there is accountability. I think now people like you obsessed over what was or what wasn't in Cleveland. I don't give a crap now. We're here. Okay. Now our big obsession, as Carl was out last week, is watching video of these two quarterbacks, and it's funny because. Look, Penix looks good, maybe ahead of schedule from what you might have anticipated. And the only thing, as we said, and this already triggered some guys, I'll trigger them again, Carl, was then we saw a video this week and I talked about T-U-A in honor of your absence.
No doubt.
Then you see our boy Tua out there and he looks like he's in a different gear because of course he is. He's healthy. You know, he finished the season healthy. He finished the season on the bench for Miami, but he finished the season with two knees that weren't jacked up.
Yeah. Look, I think it matters. I also told this story maybe a month ago, maybe a month and a half, Mike, where I talked about his training regimen, what he didn't do in Miami, how he changed trainers. his focus off the field. You may or may not be privy to some of this stuff, but the fact is he's coming in focused. And look, for everybody that says, well, he just came in to be a backup because he's already got a big paycheck coming to him and the Falcons got him for nothing, Tua's not done. Tua wants another bag.
Of course.
You would too. And so from that standpoint, I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that I'm ready for whatever opportunity is going to be presented. He's just not coming in here, man, eating bonbons and be like, you know, potato chips every day. I'll just show up. So, Mike, he's in shape. He's ready. And I think mentally, we talk about the playbook. That may be the equalizer because these guys, both Michael Penix and Tua, are still they're picking up the new nuances of this new system.
Guys, when you had a guy who gets injured in November, it's just – you know, as we said, unless you're Adrian Peterson, the one guy that you know, broke all records for coming back, it's just going to take a minute. So he can still win. One of the things that you know I brought up that Abe, it's a good point from Abe, that the way the schedule plays out, you do have sort of a mini bye when you play on that Thursday night game. So the idea is if, you know, Tua, if Michael just certainly is ready by the regular season, okay, then he can start if he wins the job. If they really want to get Penix the starting job, but he still can't compete and Tua struggles, then Michael could potentially be worked into the starting rotation going into week four.
Right.
But if Tua plays well and they're winning, they're not going to bench him.
There's no reason
to. There's no reason to.
No, there's no reason to. And
why would, and again, if you're Stefanski, why would you monkey around with that?
No, you're not.
If you're winning and Tua's doing, the defense is playing well, Tua's doing what he does, 200 to 250 yards.
That's right.
High percentage. Boom.
Yeah, I don't disagree. The crazy thing is, guys, the support system, and I think this is very important too when we talk about the Falcons, the support system may be the best it's ever been. Understand that Kevin Stefanski coached quarterbacks for 6 years prior to becoming a head coach, including a guy named Kirk Cousins who had his best years under him, okay? Across 2018 to 2019, Cousins threw 56 touchdowns, 16 picks. His quarterbacks coach was Stefanski. Tommy Rees played quarterback in college. Alex Van Pelt is under the radar, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But AVP is a guy that's well-respected around the league and probably could have worked anywhere else he wanted to because of his work with quarterbacks. He played quarterback. He's here. I haven't even gotten to Tanner Engstead, Mike, who was with the Jets, who was the coordinator who got fired, mm-hmm. who also played quarterback. He's the passing game coordinator. Wait, there's more. There's a guy named Jordan Reed who's the assistant quarterback's coach. Oh, and there may be a guy up in the building named Matt Ryan as well that you might want to talk to. You talk about quarterback knowledge. What this may be as much as we've ever had in the room right. when we talk about all these guys having either played it, coached guys. I mean, Stefanski, Mike, Favre, Christian Ponder, Matt Castle, Josh Freeman, Case Keenum, Cousins, Baker Mayfield, Deshaun Watson. You want me to go on? Jacoby Brissett, Flacco, Dylan Gabriel, Shador Sanders. He's worked with a ton of guys.
Right. Now, we also felt that, and we've discussed it at length, you know, Zach Robinson was learning his way as an OC. You know, and if we're honest, you know, you've got a lot of guys that, remember Ike Hillier got fired when you still didn't know what that was all about. You know, you wonder if you're helping this young quarterback evolve. Now, he will get a chance to be coached up. The only question is, when can he go 100% to do everything they're going to ask of him? And this guy's, again, I'm not going to have this conversation, I swear. It's like, Carl, I'll turn this car around. I'm not having this conversation with the audience anymore. It's not hating on Penix. We're just simply saying, right now, one guy has an advantage in this quarterback battle because he's healthy. And eventually, Penix will be healthy enough to do all those things. But you can't have a true test unless there's an even playing field. When you're now, if I can move and do all the things. Now, if I miss the throw, I miss the throw. If Tua makes the throw, he makes the throw, and that's how they'll be judged.
Yeah,
I believe in Michael Penix Jr.
Thank you. Okay.
Not
what?
See, that's just see. This is
not.
This is
well. Wait a minute. You said you did, see, and this, now you don't.
And I believe in. And Michael I got Penix two total. Not, two nincompoops who I got to battle like every day. You know, and again, I don't know what these guys are doing, Carl. They watch Judge Judy, then we come on it too, and they watch us on YouTube.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, I said I wasn't going to belittle the audience anymore, but too late. But we don't know what Penix Jr. will be able to do and when he'll be able to do it. Okay? That's not hating. That's facting. Period.
The reason why I bring up all these guys in the building is because I don't want to hear you guys say anything about coaching. You hear me? I just told you all of the experience that's there. There are enough guys who've been around and knows what it looks like. And, oh, by the way, if you want a tiebreaker, there's a guy named Matt Ryan sitting up there.
Right.
Okay?
Pretty good resource to have.
I'm just saying. And Matt says he's not going to coach, and I don't believe that he is, Mike. But my point is, when you prop up the film, and they're in the film room, and they're watching this, Mike, and Stefanski and Van Pelt are there, and Reese and Bill Callahan, and all these guys sitting there, and they go, and they turn on the tape. You don't think they know what it should look like. That's what I'm saying to you. So this idea of we have gone from, and I was one of them, guys. Mike and I were one of them. I don't think our quarterback got coached up enough last year.
Right. Now, again, DJ Williams, the son of Doug Williams, never played in the NFL. You know, T.J. Yates did. Ike Hilliard was a wide receiver. We're talking about, if you want to get into what you're dealing with as far as the brain power in the room and the experience, the real experience under center.
Yeah.
That's a thing.
So let's understand that before we start going down that road. Penix ain't getting what he needs. No, they're both going to get what they need.
The only thing now, and again, we don't know. I'm not telling you he can't. I'm just telling you we don't know right now. He looks good. Penix, two things can be true. Penix looks good, and Tua just looks quicker because there's an obvious reason for that. He didn't have a torn MCL in November.
T-U-A. Hey, you want a chance, to win a staycation comfort giveaway? Listen to this. Reliable heating and air, which includes $150 gas card, $150 grocery gift card, and a free cooling system tune-up. All compliments of Reliable Heating and Air. We're going to give it away right now to caller 5. They're calling it the Staycation Comfort Giveaway.
I like it.
Hey, man, some groceries, some gas, and a system tune-up. Caller 5 at 404-726-0929. You are going to win the Reliable Heating and Air Staycation Comfort Giveaway. We come back. Grant McCauley joins us. It's a new series for our Braves, and we lose another great.